He's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Using Curry, way downtown, bang, bang!
You don't like NBA basketball!
Well, hello and welcome to another episode of the General Manager's Office. My name is Liam Ellison, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Jared Gunn. Jared, how are you today?
Liam, going really, really good. Big weekend of news in the NBA. We're going to get through it all today.
Yeah, big weekend of news in the NBA. Sweltering hot down here in Melbourne, Australia. Nice summer's day here in the studio. How are you finding the heat?
Yeah, look, it was a bit of a hot one today, and I was worried about coming into this little studio because it has been quite hot at times. But
yeah.
Not too bad today, but we've got a good show underway before we play a game of basketball tonight, Liam.
Yeah, it's all going on. A little bit stuffy here, but that's all right. We'll still get your fantasy news to you. Of course, going around this association today, a return from injury, Jared. There's been a few recently, but we'll start off with the most recent one, of course, today. Ricky Rubio of the Utah Jazz returned after six games, I believe, with a hamstring injury. So he was on a minute restriction, 14 minutes, but was pretty good in that time, Jared.
Yeah, it was good to see Rubio come back, and it was probably at a very good time for the Jazz as well, who have had a few guards go out.
Yeah.
I actually didn't see how he went today exactly. How was he, Liam?
Well, he was 12 points, 2 assists, 2 rebounds, and a steal, only in 14 minutes of action. So that's really impressive, really encouraging for owners of Rubio, who may have picked him back up off the waiver wire, or you might have held on to him. A six-game absence, not too bad at all. But how do you project his value going forward, Jared, in the second half of the year?
Yeah, well, we know that Ricky Rubio is going to end up playing bigger minutes as the season goes on. He only played the 14 minutes today.
Yeah.
But he should find his way back into the starting lineup, and he should hold some fantasy relevance for the rest of the season. So expect him to be slotted right back into that lineup soon when he conditions himself a little bit better as the season goes on.
Well, we've spoken a little bit about Donovan Mitchell's form as of late and how he's had the ball in his hands a lot more thanks to these point guards going out. Obviously, Rubio, Dante Exum, Raul Neto and the like. He's been really good, Mitchell, the last, you know, six or seven games, putting up some big numbers, and I believe another big game today, around 32-5-5 off the top of my head, Jared. What do you think going forward? Do you think that Quinn Snyder will look at that and go, let's keep the ball in Mitchell's hands?
Yeah, I do think they'll find Donovan Mitchell having the ball in his hands a little bit more. Yeah, it's been really promising the last couple of weeks because we've been talking about it pretty much for the last few podcasts that Donovan Mitchell's had a bit of an increase in his form after the start of his year. So
yeah.
It's really promising for fantasy owners that he's coming back to the form that he showed at times last season.
Yeah. Look, I'm looking at Rubio's stats throughout his career, and I do find it interesting that since he's come to the Jazz, his role has changed a bit. Obviously, he's been shooting the ball a lot more, and it shows. I mean, his scoring's gone up 13 points per game since he's come across to the Jazz, and his assist numbers have gone down. When he was in Minnesota, he was always one of those sort of top five guys in the league for assists, putting up 8 or 9 assists a game. Now it's only about 6 a game. Last year, it was 5 a game. So a little bit of an interesting change in role for Rubio. I wonder if we see that assist number jump back up in the second half of the year for the man who has haircut like Jesus, Jared. How about that haircut?
Oh, I know. It's got a pretty lovable head, Ricky Rubio. but I think if they do choose to keep the ball in Mitchell's hands, we might just see that stay where it's at or even decrease a little bit because they've got a young stud in Utah who's playing really good basketball at the moment.
Ricky Rubio, the lovely hair. Get on him. I reckon he's a good waiver wire guy to take off the waiver wire, of course, if he is still available in that format. So another guy who's returned from injury, Boogie Cousins. So, of course, big and much-anticipated return, Jared, against your Clippers the other day at the Staples Center. And there seem to be more Warriors fans in attendance than Clippers fans.
It's not unusual at Clippers games when we versus the Warriors that they've got a huge presence at the Staples Center.
So, bit like the Lakers fans, would you say?
Yeah, well, look, we don't have the same fan base, but we are a better team than the Lakers right now. So
yes.
we'll just cop that at the moment.
I can't deny that.
Yeah, look, Boogie came in and he actually had a very, very good return. So he had 14 points and 6 rebounds. Nothing extraordinary.
He looked good, though, I thought, in that time he was out there.
Really good way to open the game with a huge dunk for the Warriors.
Mm.
And he had today. He was okay again today. He had 9 points. 8 points and 9 boards today in 21 minutes, and he was 2 from 9 from the field. But you know, he's going to take a little bit of time to warm up. Steve Kerr did say that Boogie will play in short bursts to start off this start up the season, as he's still not 100% there.
Mm.
But really promising start.
Yeah, I'd be pretty happy with this if I was an owner. I think he looks pretty good, DeMarcus Cousins, really, in his first couple of games back. As you said, I think we should have expected this slow start. You know, 8 points, 14 points, nothing huge. But going forward, if we can get, you know, maybe 11 points and 7 rebounds out of him for the next few weeks, then he might work up into that sort of 15 and 9 range or something like that, which you might see for the rest of the season. Obviously, in a more limited role with so many stars on this Golden State team. But I think encouraging signs for owners.
Yeah, look, he's gonna pick up a stack of boards. Like 9 boards in 21 minutes is a really, really good return for today.
Yeah.
So that's a really good sign for fantasy owners. And even the other day, the 14 points, and he had a really good 3-point performance as well against the Clippers. He was 3 of 4, so 75%. Maybe it's a sign of things to come for Boogie. Maybe he's been working on that shot.
Well, he's the third splash bro, Jared. Haven't you seen the video back at Team USA camp back in the day?
I haven't seen that, no.
Oh, they were mucking around. It might have been, you know, the last World Cup. I'm not quite sure. But yeah, they were mucking around Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, and Boogie reckons he can slot in as the third splash brother, so we might even see that.
Yeah, look, it's really scary watching the Warriors at the moment. They're doing a pretty good job.
They are doing a good job. Obviously, got a floor full of all-stars and a floor full of guys who can shoot the three. Extremely deadly, and I think owners who picked him up or maybe even drafted and stashed DeMarcus Cousins, especially if you had the IR spot in your league, you'd be really happy, I think, so far with his return date, which is quite early when it could have gone to February. We don't quite know how long it could have taken for Boogie to come back. So January's a pretty good result in terms of that. He's also playing pretty well. So I think you'd be happy, Jared.
Yeah, I agree. And if he keeps playing this way and his role's going to sort of gradually increase, the minutes will increase as time goes on, he's going to work his way out to being a premier option in fantasy very quickly.
Well, speaking of Boogie, how about his ex-teammate at the New Orleans Pelicans, Anthony Davis? This one is a blow for owners. Out 1 to 2 weeks with a sprained left finger. Obviously, we spoke about, we think, Jared, the best player in fantasy hoops. So big-time loss, I think. Although you'd hope that 1 to 2 weeks would be 1 week, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, our good friend Sham Sharania has come out with some news saying that, you know, there's a reevaluation coming. So hopefully that is good news for the Pelicans.
Yeah.
That it does stay at that 1 to 2 weeks and no longer than that.
Those reevaluations always scare me a bit.
Yeah. It's not like the Pelicans are in too great of a position at the moment. I don't get all the talk with Anthony Davis and him getting traded. He's still contracted until 2021.
I can definitely see what you're saying. I mean, I suppose the talk comes from a spot where they're probably not going to keep him, would you say?
Yeah, I don't think he will stay. Unless the Pelicans do something extraordinary and pick up some gun players, which is, I just can't see it happening at all.
Do you think the talk's a little bit premature, considering it might happen, you know, once they offer the Supermax, if he turns it down, then we get to that point?
Well, I know that Alvin Gentry was quite disgruntled with the media, with all the speculation about AD getting traded this year. It's pretty disrespectful to that franchise.
Absolutely.
But going back to fantasy, it's really good news for owners of Mirotić and Randall. Because they do have three big guys that are playing really good basketball in New Orleans. And as a Mirotić owner, I'm happy because he's going to see more of the ball in his hands. And those guys have been playing well anyway, even with AD in the lineup. But another guy that came and played really well today was Julius Randle with 20 and 10.
Julius Randle with
20 and 10? Jahlil Okafor.
Oh, I was going to say that's two 20 and 10 lines. Because yes, Jahlil Okafor.
You know what? I'm not going to go back on that. I think all three of them scored 20 or 21 points. So there was about 61 points between them today.
There you go.
Yeah, so that's a really good return. They're lucky that they've got some really good big guys that can fill the void while he's not there.
I mean, Jahlil Okafor, is a name that we haven't spoken about in a while. And now I think he becomes a streaming option over the next couple of weeks, 1 to 2. Obviously, Anthony Davis is out. I wouldn't put any stock in Okafor beyond that point. But certainly, if you're trying to win games in the next 1 to 2 weeks, I think Okafor is a pretty good option.
Yeah, very good option. And like, if this reevaluation for AD comes back and it's not great, Okafor could work himself into being irregular in most formats, because that was a really good performance today. He played 35 minutes and he started. So
yeah,
there's obviously a spot there for him when one of those guys gets injured.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm not sure we'll see 20 and 10 from him every game, but yeah, certainly if he gets 35 minutes, he'll be up towards that pretty good, you know, I'd say.
Yeah, even if he's thereabouts, like 16-8, around that location in terms of his stats, I think that's a really good return for a guy like him.
Yeah, completely agree. How about another big man? We've been talking about a lot of big men today, Jared. Wendell Carter Jr., got to cover this one. Could be out for the rest of the season. They reckon 8 to 12 weeks for Carter Jr., and his season's likely over, as I just said. Recommended surgery on the left thumb. So that's according to KC Johnson of the Chicago Tribune. This is a big blow for owners who would be fairly happy with Carter Jr., who they would have drafted, I would have thought, fairly high because he was a guy that we saw in the Summer League has real potential in that Chicago Bulls starting lineup.
Yeah, no doubt. He's going to be a really good player in the future. I think for fantasy relevance, he's a guy that was probably on the waiver wire for the majority of the season, if I'm not wrong.
I would say he would have been picked up in most leagues, I think, Wendell Carter Jr.
Yeah,
he was giving you 10 and 7, 1.5 blocks, 2 assists. I think he was a fairly solid option, especially in points.
He was a guy that I looked at when he was on the waiver wire at some point in the season. I don't know if I liked his consistency earlier on. He's still a rookie, so I'm not asking too much. But
yeah.
There's so many guys at the Bulls at the moment that can fill this void in. Not that they're going to help them win games or anything, but Lauri Markkanen had 220-plus games since Carter Jr. went out, which is good. You want to see. I think he's another guy that could break out for the rest of the season if he's got more opportunity with the ball in his hands and while he still gets better from that injury that he had to start the season off. So I think that's signs of what could come for Lauri Markkanen with this injury happening to Wendell Carter.
Do you think there's a window opening somewhere here for someone to come in and replace Carter Jr.? Is Robin Lopez on your radar, Jared?
I don't know. We saw that there was a report from Woj saying that...
Woj, sorry.
From Woj.
Yep.
That Lopez is still going to be traded because he has a quite a valuable contract of $14 million, which expires at the end of the season. So
yeah.
He did start for the first time today, this season, but only played... he played the 24 minutes, I should say, and it wasn't anything too flash. But Bobby Portis, he should be must-own. He's gone at 24.6% ownership. Has risen over the last week. So that's a guy that he really should be owned in most leagues. He's played some pretty decent basketball.
Yeah.
And the other one that I'm really liking at the moment, I think if Jabari Parker stays in this rotation, he's going to hold a lot of fantasy relevance for the second half of the season.
Do you think he can stay in the rotation?
I think he can. Even if he doesn't stay in this rotation, he's going to end up getting traded to another franchise. And hopefully they have a role for him there because he can score the ball.
Yeah, I don't know how much trust I could have in that happening. I mean, if he gets traded to some places, I think he'd be coming on as a starter. And we spoke before the show about New York being a possible destination where he could get minutes. I mean, they're not looking to do a whole heap of winning there, it could be said. But surely, Jared, you're a little bit worried about that he could get traded somewhere where he's not really getting many minutes.
Look, in the end, if he does get traded to somewhere where he's not going to get much opportunity, he's just going to end up getting dropped. But I think what he's shown the last week, he's averaged 13.8 points and 4.5 rebounds, which is really solid. He's only playing the 15 to 20 minutes a night. So I actually think if he does get traded to a franchise that's sort of sitting below the 500 mark at the moment, such as like a...
Well, he's on Chicago Bulls, who are 10-36.
I know, but they're not giving him the opportunity at all.
They're not?
Yeah, they're not. And that's because he's not an extremely good defensive player. That's so widely reported. But
yeah.
I think that if he goes to a team like New York where he might get a little bit more opportunity, I think that value really increases.
Do you think then it's shallow of me to look at this from the perspective of, you know, he's on the Bulls, they're 10-36, obviously right at the bottom of the NBA, not getting many minutes at all. At the moment, he's getting 20 minutes per game, but before that wasn't even the rotation. If he's doing this on the Bulls, then where is he going to fit in elsewhere?
Well, if someone wants to take him and they want to play him, I think he does have a role.
Yeah.
He's only going to get traded. If he does get traded, he's either going to play for a team or get bought out. And no, he won't even get bought out. It's $20 million. So
yeah.
His contract does hold value, but... it's not even that Jabari, I don't even think Jabari Parker's a bad player. I just think he needs to find the right spot.
Yeah, I mean, obviously really capable on the offensive end.
Yeah, it's not like, I know that...
But that's not the be-all and end-all, though, at the same time, obviously.
I know he's not the greatest defender. That's really widely reported, but I think he just adds a spot to a team where you can get some instant scoring off the bench.
Yeah. I guess for me, this would very much be a wait-and-see sort of thing. I don't think you can commit to this guy right now and bring him in thinking he's going to get traded somewhere and going to be a season-long option, you know, definitely. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I can see that being the case for a lot of owners. I'm taking the risk right now because I don't know. I don't know why I should be taking that risk right now. He probably wouldn't be picked up, but I still think that in the couple games that he has played for Chicago in the last week, he's actually been really solid. Only he had 12 minutes today, which I don't know if that's really concerning.
That really worries me.
Yeah, just from his last week, it's been solid. I'm going to stick with him for the next week and see how he goes. I can take the risk right now. I'm playing pretty good this season, so.
Yeah.
it's one to track. I think definitely one to track for all owners because Jabari Parker can really work his way back up into being a really good fantasy player again.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way of looking at it, Jared, that sort of luxury you have when you're, you know, four or five games ahead of the people below you is you can take these risks. And, you know, that's really quite lucky for you that you can do that. I mean, it's one of the values of getting out early in the season and winning those games, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. And I've taken a couple of those risks throughout the season. I can't name them off the top of my head. But, yeah, if you get it, it's why I like to get a flyer at the start of the season and play really well is because it does give you an advantage as the season goes on. You can take more risks with the players you want to pick up.
Yep.
One could be Caris LeVert. We're going to get to that soon.
Yes.
But guys that are coming back from injury, guys that are working their way back up into in the rotation, these are big guys, big players that can play a really big role for your team.
Well, he's a guy you could take a risk on, Jared. Kenneth Faried. Now, haven't spoken about him in fantasy terms for a while. Used to be quite, obviously, valuable back with the Denver Nuggets, but he's been picked up by the Rockets, obviously, with Clint Capella going down and made his debut today. They had to waive James Nunnally in order to do it. 13 points, 6 rebounds on 5 of 7 shooting. Very solid, and I think what you can expect from Faried going forward.
The return of the Manimal.
The return of the Manimal. I have not heard that nickname in a long time.
The Manimal. I know. It's been a long time.
Remember at the World Cup back in the day when he was, like, you know, on track to win the MVP of the tournament? Like, he was the best player on that USA team.
That's crazy. That was only, like, 5 years ago. Actually, no, that's a long time when you think about it. 5 years ago, that 2014 tournament.
So it goes quick.
It does go quick. So, yeah, we've talked about how much struggle. The Rockets have been a favourite of ours so far at the GM's office.
There's been so much going on.
I know.
So many injuries.
Last week, they had to start PJ Tucker at the centre.
Really?
At the centre spot. 6'6", guard PJ Tucker at that spot, which is... They've done a really good job, Houston, with what they've got at the moment. Mm. But I think this is going to really help. He didn't start today, Kenneth Faried, but he will play 20-plus minutes tonight for the Rockets. That was reported as well.
How many minutes did he play today?
I think it was... Well, I got to have another look. It definitely was over 20 when I looked.
Yeah.
But
23 minutes I've just got here. So, yeah, that's really solid.
Yeah, what I like about Kenneth Faried is that... He played two games that he did play plus 20 minutes in the Nets. He had double doubles, both over 20 points in those games. So, while he might not be a great fit in the current NBA, he can't shoot the ball that well. If he finds himself at the center spot for the Houston Rockets, I think he's going to put up some really consistent performances.
I think he can find a niche in this Houston Rockets team. I mean, that center, they have, you know, James Harden, and then they have three shooters, and they tend to put out that big guy there who's sort of setting screens. You know, he's doing all the work down low. Kenneth Faried can be that guy. You know, Capella's not there. They need him. Yeah. He's a perfect fit for them.
Yeah,
he can really cut. Yeah,
they can't rely on Nene. Nene only played the 8 minutes today. And also the other one that they had that was coming off the bench, who's another forward. Daniel House Jr., they're still trying to negotiate a contract with him. He's on a two-way at the moment. So they're working on that. So there's so much opportunity in the front court at Houston right now.
Yeah.
And also, we'll just touch on it very quickly. Melo got traded today for pretty much...
I think they had cash in the deal, didn't they?
Yeah, it was Melo and cash to the Bulls. Yeah. I don't think they got anything in return, did they?
That's how I read it as well. Yeah.
So was it really a trade?
Yeah, it was quite eye-opening, I thought.
But. Yeah, we'll touch on Melo more when he does get picked up, hopefully. I hope he does get picked up. But yeah, for Houston...
Well, what's the over-under on him going to China, Jared? What are your... I have to bring this one back.
Yeah, I want to hear your over 100 because you've been...
The over-under?
Over-under.
Okay. Let me think about this. I mean, I reckon he'll get a go this season somewhere. So I'm sort of predicting next season we might see him cop like a 3-year, $20 million deal in China. It'll be too good to turn down. So I reckon, where does that put us? October. I reckon the over-under is 9 months for him to China.
Look, there's two scenarios for Melo that I'd like. I'd either like him to go to the Lakers and try win a chip with LeBron, or come to the NBL so we can come watch him down here in Australia.
That'd be brilliant.
It would be brilliant. But
we might be asking a bit there. But.
Yeah. But, yeah, quickly with Faried before we move on.
Yep.
Another guy that I picked up today, I think that he's going to do some really, really good things in fantasy over the next 6 weeks.
Faried.
Yeah.
Yeah, completely agree. I think when I spoke about this guy, originally I sort of flagged him as a risk, but I don't think he is much of a risk for the next month at least.
No, there's going to be minutes every single night for him, and he... Mm. I think he can be an instant double-double. He's not a bad player. He just needs to find the right role in his team.
Yep, 100%. I reckon pick up Kenneth Faried if he's on your waiver wire because I'm on board, Jared. He is a good option on the waiver wire this week. One more injury, Jared, we need to talk about. There's been a few. Often when we get to this first episode of the week, there's been, you know, 3 or 4 days passed. And a lot happens in that time in the NBA, obviously. Lonzo Ball out 4 to 6 weeks with a grade 3 left ankle sprain. So this hurts owners. And he has been frustrating a lot of owners, I believe, this season. Hasn't quite performed up to expectations.
Yeah, that's fair to say. He's been really up and down, Lonzo, this season. I think owners need to drop Lonzo pretty much straight away.
Yep.
I think 4 to 6 weeks is pretty generous in terms of how long he's going to be out for. If it's a grade 3 left ankle sprain, it sounds pretty serious.
Mm-hmm.
But the good news is that Rondo should be on the waiver wire for most leagues.
Yes. And he's injured at the moment, I believe, but not too far away.
Yeah, he's questionable to play this week on Thursday,
okay.
From what I read.
Yep.
You'd be hoping that Rondo can sort of recapture the same form that he showed towards the end of the season at New Orleans last year. He can be a really valuable guy. I think if he's running the point exclusively for his team, I think Rondo's a really, really good guy to have in fantasy.
Yeah, completely agree. I think once Rondo returns, and you might even pick him up a little bit earlier before he does return, only probably a few games left before he does, so you're not copping too many injury outs if you do pick him up. I think he's a guy to look at. I mean, he'll get the full, you know, 32, 33 minutes a night now and should be a pretty solid guy off the wire. Now, Lonzo, I think, is definitely a drop. He's been pretty disappointing this year. Very, very solid in the second half of last season, wasn't he? You know, averaged 7 assists per game last year. That's down to 5 now this year. His points per game have just dipped just that little bit, still around that 10 points per game. So, but really disappointing for Lonzo, really. I mean, this is a guy we thought was going to continue to improve from that strong second half of last year. But perhaps, you know, guys like LeBron and Rondo coming in have just stagnated that a little bit.
Yeah, look, I think he probably would have been trying to get there towards the end of this season. This really doesn't help his continuity at all, obviously. But it's going to be interesting when he does return. I don't think he'll come back at all in the regular season. We'll probably see him back in the playoffs.
I think we'll see him in fantasy playoffs time. He'll come back for a few...
6 to 8 weeks. But
I think it's
April.
4 to 6, isn't it? That's what I've got in front of me.
Yeah. Even if that's being generous, you don't know. We might see him in the last 2 weeks. But just gauging from what he did when he came back from injury at the start of this season, he wasn't too flash.
Yeah.
And he'll probably end up coming off the bench for the Lakers as well. So, very unreliable option right now. But can we blame the Triple B shoes for the injury?
The Triple B shoes for the injury? Is this your theory, Jared, that, you know, the shoes are a real tangible impact on players' health and welfare?
Maybe. I don't mind a bit of Triple B, but like maybe Lonzo has to find himself a big contract with Nike or Adidas. So,
have you been negotiating some sort of sponsorship deal with BBB on the pod?
Yeah, I'd love it, mate. I'd love to have Lonzo
get LeVar on the pod.
LaMelo, LiAngelo.
Oh, yeah.
We can have Lonzo's little baby on the show. That'd be fantastic.
We'll get LiAngelo out here. I think he's without a team at the moment. He's training up for the next JBA season, of course. So we'll get him down next year. I mean, I'm sure he has plenty of time to get on and talk some fantasy hoops with us. He might even be a keen daily fantasy player. Who knows?
He could be the next Ryan Hollins.
LiAngelo, the next Ryan Hollins on first take. He'd be good at that. Oh, his dad certainly would be. I wonder if it's in the genes.
Yeah, I think so. It'll come out one day.
Yeah, I reckon Lonzo Ball, I agree, Jared, drop to the waiver wire for Lonzo Ball. But, you know, it's good that we have a replacement right there on the same team in Rajon Rondo. So it works quite nicely for disappointed owners, I'd say. Moving on now to Isaiah Thomas. So he's been out for the whole season for the Denver Nuggets, Jared. And it's been a tough run for Isaiah Thomas, it should be said. I mean, we're expecting him back, according to Woj, sometime in a homestand between the 11th and 13th of February. Do you think this has any fantasy ramifications, Jared?
Look, I look at this Denver roster and look at the depth chart. They've got Gary Harris, Malik Beasley, Will Barton, Monte Morris, all guards in the rotation right now. Where is Isaiah Thomas going to fit in that?
Yep.
When he's not conditioned yet to be playing full NBA basketball?
Yeah, stole the words right out of my mouth there, Jared. I completely agree. I think they will give him time. You know, he's Isaiah Thomas. They brought him in to be Isaiah Thomas, or at least, you know, the sixth man they're hoping for, perhaps, to come back. So I reckon they'll give him 20 minutes per game, and, you know, maybe he's a streaming guy. But I agree, Monte Morris, Malik Beasley, and that's without speaking about, obviously, Jamal Murray. There's just not going to be a 30-minute-per-night role there for him, especially because he's had such problems with his injury.
Yeah,
and for so long.
And I think that makes him really unreliable as a fantasy option as well, because he has been injured over the last few years.
He might rest games.
Yeah, like he did. He wasn't too bad when he came back last year. It was around that 14 to 15 point range
when he played.
When he played coming off the bench, which is not too bad at all.
Yeah.
But if he gets to that form, that's just going to be an influx to Denver's needs. And like I said, I don't know where he fits in that rotation. It's really sad, because this is a guy that was hoping to get a max contract last year. He signed up, signed to Denver for really not much at all.
It's brutal, isn't it?
He will never reach the same levels that he did at Boston, just because the game slowly it's changing pretty quickly. I can't see him.
It's that hip injury, isn't it? That's really held him back.
It has. But like even as a small guard, who's going to put the money into him to be the number one option on their team? That's the only time I can see Isaiah Thomas being like an extremely valuable option in fantasy, is when he's that number one option and he's got the ball in his hands all the time.
Yeah. And I think, you know, if he was on a team where they needed a six-man point guard a little bit more, and let's say he does get completely back to full health, which I don't think is probably going to happen, considering how, you know, what we've heard about the history of this hip injury and how it's really debilitating for a lot of players. So I can't really see that happening. But if that did, if he ended up somewhere where he was coming out as the six-man, you know, the point guard playing 28 minutes a night, then I think he does become relevant in fantasy. But on this Denver Nuggets team, they've had guys come out of the woodwork. You know, like we just mentioned, I just don't see him being any more than a streaming option. Keep an eye on him, but yeah.
Just looking at the numbers that some of these guards that Denver are putting up, they're playing really well. So, I'm really interested to see where it actually goes, because Isaiah Thomas, if he is playing good basketball, should be playing in most teams' rotations. So, all the best for him, because he's a really entertaining player when he's at his best.
Absolutely. Hope to see him back putting up big numbers and in our thoughts and conversations as well, Jared. So the Philadelphia 76ers now moving on to trade talk around the NBA. Some trades that might go down, and we've heard that they're targeting Noah Vonleh. I reckon he might be a good guy to bring in the second half of the year post the trade deadline, obviously, or just before the trade deadline, because that's when you need to get the deals in. So Noah Vonleh, Jared, been pretty solid for the New York Knicks, it should be said. What do you think about this potential move?
Yeah, I think solid's the perfect word to put for Noah Vonleh. So he's been averaging the 8.7 points and 8.5 rebounds this season. So that's a really decent return. I really hope that he does stay at New York, just because I think his role would change extremely if he does go to Philly.
Yep, that's exactly how I see this as well. I mean, you look last year, the Sixers brought in guys like, it's escaped me now, Marco Bellinelli from obviously the Spurs now, and there was one more player who's just Amir Johnson, I think it is. So this is very similar to me to Amir Johnson, and obviously when he came into that lineup last year, he was coming off the bench for the Sixers, and I think, I mean, unless they reckon Noah Vonleh will start at that four. That's actually something I haven't thought about too much, because there is a hole there, isn't there?
Yeah, there is a hole there. I don't think they've sort of solidified a spot there. I saw Jonah Bolden didn't score a point today in that win that they did have against the Rockets today.
You know what? I think that's actually a really good chance happening, because Noah Vonleh can shoot the three. He shot 40% from three this year.
Yeah, I know. That's been a bit of a surprise in New York as well, from what I've read. And his last 10 games have been really good, 13 and 10. So that's a really good stretch of games for Vonleh. And he could find himself playing a really decent role at Philly, but I don't know where this one could go. It could go either way. He could end up starting for that franchise or end up coming off the bench if this does happen. But also stuff that I've heard in the press is that New York are keen on keeping him as well, because he has been a really, really big surprise for them.
Yeah. I actually think this news is not too bad for owners. There is a possibility that he gets traded to the Sixers or somewhere else, and he has a lesser role. But I think it's more likely that either he stays or he goes to Philly and becomes, you know, that starting four. I've almost flipped my script mid-podcast, Jared. I've just thought about this a little bit more, I think he might be a good option there.
That's great. It could go either way. I don't think this is one to worry about too much. He's not a premier option in the league. I'd say what sort of team formats would you say he'd been?
I think 12 to 14, definitely he'd be owned.
For those formats, it's probably a bit more important. But even if he goes to Philly, he's going to be averaging very similar as a starter, I'd say. And if he would be coming off the bench, that's what would worry me.
Yeah. Noah Vonleh, a guy who's really outperformed expectations this year, which is really handy to get off the waiver wire, Jared. So We spoke about this a little bit earlier. Caris LeVert, another New York forward, New York-based, obviously, does play for the Brooklyn Nets. So had that really nasty injury earlier in the year against the Minnesota Timberwolves, which had everyone, you know, cringing watching the footage. But apparently he is progressing nicely, moving towards 5-on-5 action. Not quite there yet, but he's been doing some light shooting and joining in drills. So, but the Nets won't commit to a return date. We don't know whether it's going to be before or after the All-Star break, but it was flagged that they were hoping for early February originally for LeVert.
That's great news, isn't it? Because when the injury happened, I know that we were having a great chat about it. And it was a guy. He was a guy that was averaging 18.5 points and playing a really good role in Brooklyn.
Absolute breakout guy, wasn't he?
Yeah. And you know what? Brooklyn's been a huge surprise. They've had so many good options come in and fill that void. Joe Harris and Rhodey and Kurix have come into that lineup and had some really nice games for the Brooklyn Nets, and they've got a positive record right now too.
They're above 500. It's unbelievable. Yeah. I saw on Twitter today that, you know, Brooklyn made the worst trade of all time, completely stuffed their draft stock, and yet they're still ahead of New York and rebuilding.
Oh, no. I know that they've got big raps around the GM at Brooklyn. They really rate what he's doing at that franchise, and it's really good because Brooklyn's really struggled since that franchise change from New Jersey. So, going back to LeVert though, this is a guy that could be worth a punt for guys that are higher up in the league because he's not going to be back for at least a month, I'd say. So I wouldn't be worrying about it too much right now. But
yeah, I feel like it could be a little bit less than a month. It could be 2 to 3. It depends how...
That'd be a great result for them.
Yeah, that's probably, you know, erring on the really positive result, if you like, for LeVert. I don't think we'll probably see that. But 2 to 3 would be a really good result if he can return at that time. And if I was giving advice to someone like you, Jared, who's got, you know, you've got risks to take, I guess, in our league. I mean, we spoke about this earlier, and I'm not keen to give you too much advice because I am in your, you know, a couple of your leagues, Jared. But this is a guy that if you're 3 or 4 games above, this is a guy I'd be picking up right now because you can bank him. He can come back, and he might be slow to start with the first 2 or 3 weeks, but come fantasy playoffs time, I think he could be really valuable.
Yeah, teams up the top of their conferences in fantasy, definitely worth a crack right now. And if you do have the IR in your league, you should be on your roster already.
Yeah, completely agree. I mean, IR, definitely a guy that would be owned.
The only thing that worries me is that, I expect him to go to the bench once he returns, and he'll have to work his way back into form. So it's not like Joe Harris and Rhodey and Kurix have been bad at all. So he'll have to work his way back into that two spot at Brooklyn. But if he puts up performances like he did earlier in the year, it's going
to
happen.
I think they'll be keen to get him back there if he can get back to that form. And I think, you know, it's yet to be seen. It might be difficult with that injury. It could be really really rough to come back from. But if he can play really well, I think he'll be back in that starting lineup within a couple of weeks, I would say. There's been a little bit of drama happening in Dallas, Jared. I'm not sure if you caught it. I mean, it would have been hard not to because we've heard a lot about it. It's been on the radio. Rick Carlisle has been, you know, really flying the flag for Dennis Smith Jr., it should be said, getting on radio saying, you know, really advocating for his character, saying this is not, something that Dennis has brought about. He thinks it's a business move, but of course, he was away from the team for 4 games. They were citing back soreness and illness, which obviously we now think is probably false, and they were looking for a trade. But now it's come out that Rick Carlisle's apologised to Dennis Smith Jr., and now that he's looking to return to the team. So, really interesting turn of events, Jared.
Yeah, it is very interesting. I think I'm pretty certain that Dennis Smith Jr. is really close with LeBron's management. I think he may be managed by LeBron's management. So
okay,
they're obviously trying to pull off some stunt to get him some more money or more opportunity somewhere else. It's funny seeing a guy that's only his second year with so much leverage already.
Well, I'm not sure if he has the leverage, does he? I mean, he thinks he does, but...
You're right, because he has come back to Dallas since, but they tried to play that trick, and that didn't work. But I'm not expecting too much different. We spoke about Dennis Smith Jr. a couple of weeks ago. I think what's going to change is the rotation in Dallas will change slightly change. Maxi Kleber will probably go back to the bench. And look, he's returning to play the Clippers on Wednesday. It's not one that I'd be reading too much into. I'm not expecting anything extraordinary.
I'm not the biggest Dennis Smith Jr. fan, fantasy-wise. I think, you know, he obviously displays great athleticism and potential in the NBA, but I think he's a pretty inefficient guy from the field and you know, from three.
Yeah.
Which hurts his value a bit, especially when he's not a real volume scorer or assist guy or anything like that.
Yeah, I think, like I said, I think we're just going to get get the same production. Not that it's too bad.
Mm.
He's a guy that'll probably be relevant in the 12 to 14 team formats.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think sort of tracks here where he's going. He could come out like a storm.
Mm.
And play really good basketball, but I'm not expecting it.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there with Dennis Smith Jr., but he is back for the Dallas Mavericks. So I think it's time now, Jarrett, to move on to our waiver wire segment. So looking at guys who we think you can pick up as a free agent, guys that can be valuable for you, both as a streaming option and as a season-long option. So I'm going to start with a guy who I think is more of a streaming option due to there's been a few injuries, and we've covered this in the previous episodes. The Cleveland Cavaliers roster, Tristan Thompson, Larry Nance Jr., and Kevin Love all out for injury, at least for the next couple of weeks, we think. So Ante Zizic, I hope I've pronounced that correctly, he has been really balling out, actually, for the Cavs in the last 4 to 5 games, Jared.
Yeah, and look, so he's come into the starting lineup since Thompson's been out. I think Thompson's been out for the last 2 games.
Yeah.
But it's funny because he was playing really well before that. Last 7 games, he's been averaging 18 points and 8 rebounds, which is a really, really good return. He's been
absolutely
in a points league. He's doing extremely well, and in categories leagues, you're going to find that's going to be very valuable because he's putting up good numbers on the points and the rebounds.
Yeah, I think if you're streaming in your leagues looking for wins, I think he'd be, if he has a game tomorrow, or you know, if he has 2 and 3 nights, things like that, I think he'd be at the top of my list, or at least very close to the top of my list for streaming options.
And he's only owned by 0.6% of owners. So
I mean, it won't last.
Won't last, but still, it's really low, so jump on it if you haven't already.
Yeah, absolutely. Ante Zizic, a good guy to look at as a streaming option. So I want to look at Eric Gordon, Jared. He's been back for the last 3 games, absolutely balled out in his first 2, but was pretty disappointing today, and I actually brought him in as a streaming option in one of my leagues today, and he burnt me. But, you know, I think going forward, with how stripped down that Houston Rockets roster is, he's a pretty good option off the waiver wire, would you say?
Yeah, he's going to be that second scorer at the Rockets in this meantime, while Capella and Chris Paul are still out.
Mm.
So there's plenty of opportunity for him to score the ball, even though that James Harden's scoring 50 points every second night, it seems like.
Yes,
Yeah, he's going to play extensive minutes due to the depth in Houston being really depleted right now.
Mm.
I think it's all based on his opportunity and ability to score the ball.
Well, he had 30 points, 4 assists, and 5 rebounds against the Lakers only about 3 or 4 days ago. So,
yeah, it was 30 points and 20 points in return. So it was showing really good form off that bruised knee injury.
Absolutely. Just went 2 of 13 today from the field. So an off-shooting night for Eric Gordon.
You got to back your shooters in the NBA. They'll have really bad nights sometimes, but they're consistently pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, in categories, hugely valuable for the 3 points made. I think he's putting up about 2.7 per game. I mean, you know, over the last 3 games, he was putting up about 4.5 before today. Still hit the 2 threes today. So even though he hurt you in just about every other way today in categories, still gave you the 2 3-pointers made. So if that is something you're targeting, the threes, Eric Gordon, I think, should be picked up off the waiver wire for you.
Kelly Oubre Jr. Loom.
He's been really good since he's come to the Phoenix Suns, hasn't he?
He has. So he's been averaging 14.5 points and he's had a 38% 3-point field goal post-trade.
Yeah. I mean, he's at the moment averaging 14.5 points per game as a Phoenix Sun, which if that continued would be a career high for Oubre Jr. And, you know, he improved steadily throughout his Washington Wizards career. And now he's been traded to a rebuilding team like the Suns. I think he's gonna score for that team because, you know, they have Devin Booker and they have DeAndre Ayton. TJ Warren's really strong. They have a pretty good wing rotation, I think, but they're not exactly stacked for scorers, especially off that bench for Phoenix.
No, you're right. So, he's going to be coming. He's been coming exclusively off the bench for them. He's just been that wing guy that they can rely on to score a few buckets.
Yeah, I think he's a guy to look at. I think he has a season-long potential. I think if he keeps his form up that he's had since joining the Suns, he could be a guy you bring in for the rest of the year. But certainly as a streaming guy, he's been really good since coming to the Suns roster.
Yeah, I think he's ideal in the streaming for a streaming guy that you need to use. Yeah.
Absolutely. How about another guy coming off a bench is Terrence Ross, Jared. So he's been pretty solid, and I think he's having a career year for the Orlando Magic.
Yeah, he started a lot of games last year, Terrence Ross, for the Magic, and he's come exclusively off the bench as well for this franchise. He's had a really great scoring patch over January. He's only had 2 games under the 10 points, and he's had some relatively high scoring games as well. So he's not doing too much other than scoring the ball at the moment, but he's scoring at a really good rate. I think his field goal has been really good since he's come into that lineup.
Well, he's played 11 games in the month of January, averaging 16.5 points over the last month. So, being one of the hottest guys on the waiver wire in fantasy over that time span. He's having a career year averaging 14 points per game. So Terrence Ross has carved out a really nice role on this Orlando Magic team this year.
Yeah, no, it's really good signs for him because he's been up and down. Terrence Ross's career has gone on.
He has, yeah. I think pick him up and ride this wave out. I mean, as long as he's hot like this, just see what he can do. See if he can keep it going, I think, with Terrence Ross. How about Alex Len Jarrett from the Atlanta Hawks? Put up some big games as of recent. What is your take on Alex Len? Do you think this can continue? Was a high draft pick, obviously, back in the day with the Phoenix Suns.
That draft was a really terrible draft, though. That's the draft with Anthony Bennett. So I think the only guy that's come out of that draft that was a pretty good player has been Otto Porter Jr.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's been shooting really high percentages the last four games. He had a 24 and 11 game recently as well.
Mm.
He always gets a solid block of minutes, so he's going to be on the court all season long. But his consistency can be really up and down.
Oh, wow. He's very inconsistent. I mean, I'm looking at this today. He had 14 minutes today. Only managed 2 points and 4 rebounds. So up and down like crazy. I mean, they do have John Collins there and Dwayne Dedman. So I don't know if you can trust Alex Len going forward. But when a guy on the waiver wire has 24 and 11, you kind of have to look at it, I think. So
yeah, I just find it hard to get a read on a guy like Alex Len because while he can put up games like 24 and 11, it really depends on the matchup and teams that he does verse, because he can put up really low performances as well.
Yeah, I think Alex Len is probably a guy that, although he's, if you're looking at the last 15, last seven in terms of who's been scoring the most and putting up the most stats, he might be right up there, but I'm not sure he's a guy you can really trust consistently, unless we do see it from him. I think it's a wait-and-see approach with Alex Len.
Last guy, Liam, Malik Beasley, he's my favourite out of all these waiver wire options that we've listed today.
He's your favourite, is he?
He's my favourite.
He's been playing very well the last
really,
6 games.
Really, really good. So he's been starting for the Nuggets since the 8th of January, 30 minutes every night since, and 58% field goal since entering the lineup, and he hasn't gone below double digits in the score while scoring the ball. So this guy has been super.
Yeah, unbelievable. I mean, I actually wasn't across that he was in the starting lineup, Jared, so it's good that you've alerted me to that. And, of course, our listeners, like, Malik Beasley is a guy that has been really plying his trade there since being drafted by the Nuggets. And now to get that opportunity as a starter, I think he's a really good option going forward. I mean, I'm wondering whether Will Barton will, enter that starting lineup going forward. And Gary Harris is also returning from injury. So I think those guys will probably surpass him. But I think for the meantime, as long as he's starting there for the next 2 to 3 weeks, he's a good option, at least for streaming, I would say.
Well, it's funny, because I think if he can keep this form up, the Nuggets might feel more inclined to keep him there, because they've been pretty good in that stretch while he's been starting.
I think they really like Gary Harris, though, when he's healthy.
Yeah. Gary Harris has had some shockers, though, this year. I think he's been on the waiver wire for most teams all season.
He has, although I believe he's had some injury troubles this year, Gary Harris, so that's probably
They need Gary Harris to find some continuity and start playing at a more consistent rate. Because I think we talked about him a couple of weeks ago, Gary Harris. And
a buy-low guy, we said.
Yeah, he was a buy-low guy. So
I still think he is, to be honest. I think if he works his way back into it. And this is only lowering his value, of course, maybe, coming off the bench.
I don't know. Because
do you think he's shot for the rest of the year?
Possibly. It's just it's not that he's shot. I just think that the amount of guards in Denver at the moment that are playing good basketball.
And more coming back.
Yeah, you need to be on top of your game. So if Gary Harris is just not shooting the ball as well as he can, not scoring the ball as much as he can as well, I just think that guys like Malik Beasley and Monte Morris, if they keep playing good basketball, they're going to feel more inclined to keep it how it is. And with Isaiah Thomas coming back as well, they've got to keep it. Everyone's going to be on their feet.
Look, you make a good point. I mean, the Denver Nuggets, are right at the top of the Western Conference. So obviously, Coach Malone is going to want them to continue just winning. And every night they're focusing on winning. It's not about building guys in the future and letting guys get back into it. It's who's playing well in the night. So you make a good point. If Malik Beasley's really fitting their lineup, they might keep him as a starter for the rest of the year. I think you pick him up and see where it goes.
Yeah, I'm actually thinking that he's a guy that if he can keep this form regular, then he could become a fantasy regular.
Yep, I like that. I think, pick up Beasley, because I think over the next 2 to 3 he's guaranteed to be a good option and maybe beyond. It's definitely in play.
It's funny because I was just having a look at his stats and I'm really not a big guy on the guards. I've said it before, but he's been really, really impressive. I'm loving what he's doing at the moment.
Yeah, depends what you need. I mean, obviously, categories, he can give you the points and assists, which are quite valuable.
Yeah,
and a pretty solid option at the two guard spot, which is probably one of the weaker spots, or I'd say would be the weakest position in fantasy hoops is the shooting guard position.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. It's I've only got one or two shooting guards. I think I've got an extra one because Joe Ingles got the dual position status during the season, which is always handy.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, I avoid the guards as much as I can because they take too many shots. Not all of them, but a lot of them take too many shots, and it just really hurts in a points league in specific.
Mm. All right, well, I think that's all we've got time for today, Jared. Time to get out of this sweltering hot studio. Of course, always thankful to have the space. But I think we're looking forward to next episode, Jared. We're going to do 10 breakout players who we think can come out in the second half of the year and really improve their value and have a breakout second half of the season.
Yeah, we've got a really nice list coming along. We're just putting a bit of work into that at the moment. Yep. So, yeah, look forward to that one.
That'll be good. So thanks very much for listening, guys. We are the GM's office, and good luck for the rest of the week with your teams.